Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sunday. And myself, Jerry Williams, Paula Alexander will be in just a few moments, but we will get to her in just a few moments. We've got a couple audios to play, and then we will get Paula in here. So, you know, I'm going to bring up a couple things here. I know we're going to be really talking about these Republicans, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump. And obviously, why are we going to talk about him? Because he keeps doing some of the most fucked up shit. Plus, he has a lot of legal issues going on right now as we speak. And we could actually see this guy go to jail sometime this week coming up. Now, let me just kind of put this out there. Everybody's placing their bet saying when they believe Donald Trump will go to jail. I don't know. What do you think? How many of you think he's going to go to jail this week? How many of you think he's going to go to jail next week? Not this week coming up, but the week after. Or how about how many of you think that nothing is going to happen to him and they're just going to slap him on the hand and then he will not be able to run for 2024. How many people believe that? Regardless of what you think, here's my speculation. I believe on Tuesday we will know something. I believe that on Tuesday Donald Trump is going to be put in handcuffs. I believe he's going to prison for breaking the law, committing the crimes that he committed. And it's not going to only stop there. I think they're going to go after him for everything else as well. So everything's just going to start piling up on poor old Donald Trump. And so, you know, while it piles up on him, he's going to have to face each landmine of legal issues. And you could tell that it's bothering Donald Trump because has anybody taken a look at this guy? Donald Trump does not look healthy whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you can tell that he's really exhausted. You can tell that He is somebody that is appears to look like they're definitely worried about what's going to happen to him. And so that's what's happening here. I think that Donald Trump knows that he's pretty much fucked. And that's why Donald Trump has been calling upon his followers to go after Hooters and the people that are going against him. And so what did he do? Well, the dumbass decided to do the same thing he did on January 6th. And so he is went out and said, hey, go up there, cause problems, you know. He even said, he even told, I think it was like a news media or something, he said, if I go to jail, there is going to be a lot of bloodshed. And that is a threat by Donald Trump. So this is the same shit that he did on January 6th. And so he's trying to get his base riled up. And what he wants is he wants his base to commit domestic terrorism again. That's what he wants. He wants domestic terrorism. He loves inciting domestic terrorism. And his followers are so fucking crazy that they will do whatever he commands them to do. I mean, that's how screwed up his followers are. The loyal Trumplicans are pretty fucked up. And you know what's funny is, and it's not really funny, it's kind of messed up, but did you notice that the Donald Trump followers are starting now to become white nationalists, white supremacists? And I'm telling you, I know there's a few people that listen that like to call into the show, and I know one guy in particular who is a white nationalist. He even is proud to be a white nationalist. And when you hear the term white nationalist, all you have to remember is that they truly believe in white supremacy, that the white race is the superior race, that females are not in any way, shape, or form superior to men. And so they have to belittle them. And they believe that the women should just shut the fuck up, stay in a corner, and do what they're told. And that's what they believe. They don't like black people. They don't like Jewish people. They like the supreme white race is what they're about. And so these white supremacists or white nationalists are now embracing and loving fascism. And so what have they done? Well, they wanted to create the best fascist of all, the dictator himself, Donald Trump. And so they support Donald Trump. They love Donald Trump. They want him to be the grand wizard of their clan. And so that's what they want. They like Donald Trump that much. And so it's really something we need to be really concerned about, because America is really in a situation here. And we are going to go into a battle when Donald Trump goes to jail that some of his followers will act up and act out against people who are Democrats, Biden supporters. So they're going to go after all these type of people. They're going to go after some of the judicial people. I guarantee you that's what these idiots will do, because they believe they're above any law that has been created. They believe they're above the Constitution of the United States. They believe what they're doing by committing domestic terrorism is a act of protecting the Constitution of the United States. That's what jihads do, right? That's what ISIS does. They also believe that they're protecting the Islamic laws and the Islamic Bible, because they believe that they're doing this for God, for their God, for Allah. They believe that. But not all Muslims are bad, just like not all Americans are bad. But there are these groups of individuals who are like Donald Trump, like is ISIS and the jihad and all these guys that are like this. I mean, Donald Trump is no different than Kim Jong-un, if you want to think about it, or Vladimir Putin. He's no different than them. And honestly, he's no different than Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump wants to be recognized as a love for himself. Do you know who Donald Trump truly loves more than any other individual out here? He loves himself. He looks in the mirror every day, pulls out his little penis, takes his tweezers out of the drawer in the bathroom, and then starts beating off as he looks at himself in the mirror, going, "You are so great, and I just love it. You love when I lick my lips, and I just want it so bad. You want it? You want to lick it? Yeah. Oh, That's Donald Trump. Lickety-dickety, trying to use the tweezers to pop off a good old cherry out of his bunghole. So that's what it is. And, yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene would be on the side going, "Donald, let me help you. I'm going to fondle your balls. Tickle, tickle, tickle." You know, I don't even know where your balls are. Oh, my God. So, but that's what Donald Trump is. He has created all these type of individuals like Marjorie Taylor Greene, the biggest, dumbest bitch in the world, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is the governor of Arkansas and is pretty much the same evil as Donald Trump. She is the female Donald Trump. And then you have Matt Gaetz, who looks like some kind of pimple that's on Donald Trump's ass. Well, he actually looks like the pimple off of Eric Trump's ass, because he kind of looks like Eric Trump with a big old forehead. And so that's what's crazy about it. And then you've got all the Fox News media that like to support Donald Trump. And then they like to put out propaganda lies and saying January 6th was just another day of people protesting and walking peacefully throughout the Capitol building. So my question is, if they were so peaceful and walking through the Capitol building, then why was there Republican senators and governors, Democratic senators, governors, so forth, you know, politicians that were saying that they were scared for their lives, that they were scared that they were going to be killed? These individuals were freaking out about their lives being taken away. And one individual who actually talks about Republicans and brings up all these articles, here's what he brought up the other day. And this was actually about Katie Porter, who describes January 6th with the whole situation. Take a look.
Katie Porter's office during the invasion of the Capitol.
Get into bust into Katie's office, and Katie's like having a cup of coffee, like I think the information's still trickling in, etc. And so I start, you know, ripping through Katie's office like a mad woman. You know, poor Katie, I'm like opening every closet. I'm opening every nook. I'm opening like every cranny, looking for where I'm going to hide when they get into this office.
And Congresswoman Katie Porter is back with us. And I just want to listen to a bit more of what Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez says about what it felt like when she finally did choose her hiding place. Let's listen to this.
I hide back in the bathroom behind the door. And then I just start to hear these yells of, "Where is she? Where is she?" And I just thought to myself, they got inside. It felt like my brain was able to have so many thoughts in that moment, between these screams and these yells of, "Where is she? Where is she?" And so I go down and I thought I was going to die.
Congressman Porter, what was that like for you? And did you know just how deep Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's fears were at that time?
Well, at first she saw me, and we waved. I went into my office, and a couple seconds later she knocked and she said, "You know, could we come in?" And I said, "Of course." And she began to, you know, her staffer was trying to describe what had happened. And Alex is really usually like unfailingly polite and very personable, and she wasn't even really talking to me. She was opening up doors, and I was like, can I help you? Like, what are you looking for? And she said, I'm looking for where I'm going to hide. And the thing that will always stay with me, the two memories that really, you know, especially as a mom, I think were just really powerful for me, was when she said, you know, I was saying, well, don't worry, I'm a mom, I'm calm, I've got everything here we need, we could live for like a month in this office. And she said, I just hope I get to be a mom, I hope I don't die today. And the second thing is she was wearing heels. And I remember her saying to me, I was wearing flats. And I remember her saying to me, I knew I shouldn't have worn heels. How am I going to run? And we went and we found her a pair of sneakers to wear from one of my staffers so that she could run if she needed to literally run for her life.
That was Congresswoman Katie Porter giving her side of the story in the wake of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sweeping across social media after an Instagram Live recounting her experience escaping from the insurrectionists on January 6th.
I felt that if this was the journey that my life was taking, that I felt that things were going to be okay. And that, you know, I had fulfilled my purpose. Anyways, sorry guys.
What's most striking after watching that, in my opinion, is that this is the event that Republicans are attempting to sweep under the rug. Lawmakers thought they were going to die at work in their own offices at the United States Capitol, in this country, not some war-torn country, not some third world country, the United States of America. We're talking about a 31-year-old congresswoman trying to find sneakers in case she needed to run for her life. And yet, instead of acknowledging the severity of the events of that day, Republicans' only aim now is to pretend that it was permissible and to absolve those responsible from being held to account. And why? Because, per usual, they're protecting Trump, even though not only does he offer no benefit to Republicans, but he's actually a drag on the party. In the last election, he ran behind nearly every Republican on the ballot. He was able to turn out a record 81 million Americans against him. The guy never even broke 50% approval in his entire presidency. And that's the guy they're continuing to kowtow to, even after he was voted out of office? It's like the GOP is demanding to lose. In reality, the only emotion you should feel toward Donald Trump is fury. Fury that he lied, that he manipulated his supporters into believing his lies, that he's too small and petty of a man to accept the fact that he lost, and that his BS antics nearly cost the lives of people who show more respect for this country in a single day than Donald Trump has in his entire sad excuse for a life. And it's not just Trump, by the way. You should be furious at the likes of Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and the rest of the Republican elected officials who validated Trump's lies from Congress. And in the case of Cruz and Hawley, that they did it for their own personal benefit. They're going to run for president in 2024. They want to pander to Trump's base. And so even though they knew that his stolen election claims were complete and utter BS, they repeated them anyway because they're not concerned with anything other than their own ambition. If AOC had lost her life, it would have been because Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were pandering for votes, and they know it. And finally, you should be furious with the people who even now, even after the insurrection, continue to parrot the lies that led to the insurrection in the first place. If you can watch these lies get debunked by the courts around the country, by the DOJ, the DHS, Republican governors and secretaries of state, and recounts and audits, and yet you still support the people who have knowingly and willfully lied to you because they thought it would be politically advantageous for themselves, then you are part of the problem. This is no longer about pretending you're focused on election integrity. That issue has been litigated and adjudicated. It is over and it's time to grow up. The fact is that the insurrection at the Capitol exposed the GOP for what it really was better than any single event. They claimed to be staunch defenders of the Constitution, and yet they tried to subvert the will of the people in a free and fair election to install the election's loser to a second term. They claimed to be pro-police, and yet their mob bludgeoned a police officer to death. They claim to be pro-life and yet haven't managed to say a word about the multiple people, including, again, a cop, as well as a number of their own supporters who died that day at the Capitol. The fact is that they'll tout these platitudes when it's convenient, but when it comes time to actually stand up for what they purport to believe in, suddenly it's crickets from the right. So my words may fall on deaf ears, but if Senate Republicans don't vote to convict Donald Trump at the upcoming Senate trial, that is a tacit endorsement of what AOC and Katie Porter and the rest of the members of Congress and the Senate endured on January 6th as insurrectionists sought to kill them. And that will not only be a stain on their legacy, it will wholly and unequivocally define them. And those Republicans may not care, but will not only be happy to remind them every last day that they walk the halls of the Capitol, will remember at the ballot box who stood up when a mob tried to kill our elected officials, and who was too spineless to offer a single word.
Okay, there you go. Very interesting stuff right there. And the funny thing is, which is really crazy, is that, you know, here you have Tucker Carlson pandering lies about saying that January 6th was just a peaceful walk through the Capitol. When people who are trying to literally live without dying from these individuals. Now, you can't tell me that that was a peaceful walk through the Capitol. What Tucker Carlson did was cut up the video and just showed you images of them walking normally at certain times through the Capitol. So you don't see what they did by, you know, beating the fucking heads in of the police officers and so forth. So let me just, you know, reiterate this. Donald Trump wants this to happen again at his same followers to commit another act of a domestic terrorist attack upon our nation. And then Donald Trump goes out to his rallies and puts together a video. And the crazy part is it's fucking sick. Because what he does is he says, oh, this is about America. And at the end, you can hear them chanting USA, USA, USA on the audio and the video. But do you know a lot of those that chanting was from January 6th when they were rioting? Is they were chanting coming across into the Capitol? But that's the part that was taken from. Take a look.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's Donald Trump's new audio that he plays before he comes out when they introduce him. And the funny thing is, I guess when they, you know, they have to introduce him as the Son of Man, the Christ, Donald Trump. And then they play that audio, and the audio sounds like shit. The thing is, it's a amazing how they take the national anthem and they put Donald Trump saying the Pledge of Allegiance and, of course, mixing that stuff together. If anybody would ever think that that is justified as being an ethical way of doing that, it's just really, really, it's really discriminative towards our country if you think about it. Because the national anthem is supposed to be the national anthem, not some stupid shit that he's putting together so he can get his rocks off. But that's who Donald Trump is. And so all this other stuff happening with the Republican Party, everything from DeSantis to, you know, to all this other stuff happening. By the way, Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are in a feud together. And as they fight against each other, they are causing so much problems that the Republican Party is saying, well, who do we choose? Do we choose Hitler 1 or Hitler 2? Because that's who we're going to try to lead the Republican Party. Dictator 1, Dictator 2, Fascist 1, Fascist 2, and so on and so on. It's the same fucking guy. So that's what they're dealing with here. And so when the Republicans brought this stupid shit out, and now that they're attacking the LGBTQ community, females' rights for reproductive rights, and they go on and on and just attacking everybody because they want, again, white nationalists, they want everybody to become white nationalists, the supreme white race, and they want everybody to be above women, anybody of different color of skin, different background in your as far as what you're raised in, as far as being, you know, Baptist ministers, stuff like that. You know, Baptist. They don't want to have, but just the Protestant way or whatever they call it. It's a supreme race of the whites only club, and that's what they're doing. Here is something that happened. This is the last audio I'm going to play, but then we're going to bring Paula in. But here's what's really funny. Ron DeSantis went on live television, and this guy made a total ass out of himself. Take a look.
What's your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron the Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I can't. I don't know how to spell the Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
As long as you call me a winner. Okay, and let's make something else perfectly clear. Ron DeSantis went to Yale and Harvard. He knows how to spell the word sanctimonious. But because he thinks his base is stupid and he wants to be relatable, he is pretending that he's an idiot. Think about that for a moment. Ron DeSantis wants to make himself seem stupid so that his voters will relate to him. If that is not the biggest slap in the face to his own voters, I don't know what is. I've said it before and I'll say it again. No one has more contempt for their own supporters than Republicans. But going back to the crux of DeSantis' argument that you can call him whatever you want so long as you call him a winner. And he's been trying to present himself to Republicans as the guy who gets stuff done. But the problem is that all he's getting done are checking off culture war boxes to pander to the farthest right elements of his base. Ron DeSantis' administration signed Florida's Don't Say Gay law, prohibiting the acknowledgement of the existence of LGBT Americans in primary school classrooms. He banned localities from enacting pandemic mitigation measures and has attacked schools that implemented mask mandates. He's overseen the banning of books from Florida schools. His administration blocked the new AP course on African American studies from being taught in Florida classrooms, saying that it violated state law and was historically inaccurate. Now, of course, it only violated state law because of a law that DeSantis himself signed only a year earlier that restricts race-based analysis in schools. And that bill, HB 7, the so-called individual freedom measure, bans educators from teaching certain topics related to race and is designed to purportedly prevent teachers from making students feel guilt or shame about their race because of historical events, which, to be clear, is not how learning works. And yet, as a result, to align with this law, College Board, which runs the Advanced Placement Program, purged the names of black writers and scholars associated with critical race theory, the queer experience and black feminism, and Black Lives Matter. Although it did add one topic, black conservatism. Because, as we all know, why focus on black writers and scholars and an entire black movement when you can focus on the very prominent topic of black conservatism? Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And so DeSantis' goal here is to use his majorities in the legislature, which, of course, he got through extreme gerrymandering thanks to a map that he himself introduced, to pass his laundry list of culture war priorities. And then, of course, he'll turn around and point to those accomplishments as proof that he's able to notch wins. But A, he got those wins through his own gerrymander, and B, they're not wins, they're just Republican culture war mad libs. No one's life is fundamentally improved by preventing a teacher from acknowledging the existence of LGBT Americans. No one's made safer by preventing schools from imposing mask mandates. No one is smarter by not having learned about history as it actually happened. The only difference here is that Ron DeSantis was able to leverage his position as governor to get cable hits on Fox, an entire state legislature whose sole function is to prop up its executive. It's like the whole GOP exists to coddle its authoritarian rulers. And it really does go to show how the whole point of the Republican Party is to find some culture war, any culture war, because that's the only way that Republicans can win elections. Obviously, they're not in office to lower costs or build up the middle class or add jobs or upgrade our infrastructure. They're not there to cap out-of-pocket healthcare costs or expand rural broadband. They're not there to protect sick veterans. They're not there to combat the effects of climate change or lower the deficit, because they've done none of that, and the Democrats did all of it. Republicans are there to gin up arbitrary culture wars that'll rile up their base. That's it. They're there to collect a paycheck by getting their voters scared or enraged about the stupidest shit you could possibly imagine. And that's a generous interpretation of what it is. Here's just a small sampling of the culture war issues that we've had to contend with over the years.
Last year, the coffee cup Starbucks used had a little wintry design on it. Nothing directly associated with Christmas, just a pleasant little image. This year, the cup is just red. No design.
Now the news that he was raised a Muslim, Barack Obama, raised as a Muslim, this is huge. Pearl Bailey and Cab Calloway did an all-black version of Hello, Dolly. There were not riots in Broadway. It didn't matter. People can interchange. That's fine. My problem is they tried to whip up racial hatred, I guess to draw attention to this project.
What was actually happening at this school district that made you have to dress up as a cat to prove your point?
Well, first of all, Jesse, I'd like you to not miss a species me. I'd like to be addressed as a cat for the entirety of this video, of course.
Of course.
So
I apologize.
This was in the point that I was trying to make as a cat was that, I mean, obviously, you can't just identify as whatever you want, and you can't demand that other people identify you as whatever you want.
Woke M&Ms have returned. The green M&M got her boots back, but apparently is now a lesbian, maybe. And there's also a plus-sized, obese purple M&M. So we're going to cover that. Of course.
All right. I'm going to have your basic cheddar cheeseburger, medium well. I just want mustard, no ketchup. If you got like a spicy mustard or something like that, or a Dijon mustard, something like that.
All right, Dijon mustard. And I hope you enjoyed that fancy burger, Mr. President.
So the Xbox itself is programmed to be green aware, not to really be green. So it's kind of like Al Gore. It is aware of the environment, but it's not really doing anything about it.
I do not like the treatment of Dr. Seuss. I don't like it in a house with a mouse. I don't like it with a box with a fox. I don't like it here or there. Bill Hemmer, I don't like this anywhere.
Lego is going woke. The company unveiling a range of new characters in the effort to be more inclusive. Lego says the new characters will promote diversity and understanding. Some will have anxiety issues. I don't know how you show that. One will have a missing limb, another Down syndrome.
And so this is what they do. And the fact is, this is what they need to do, because if not for distracting you with this bullshit, then what else do they have? They stand for tax cuts for millionaires, pretending climate change doesn't exist, coddling fossil fuel companies, and facilitating the proliferation of guns across the country. You think any of that's going to win them elections at scale? Of course not. They need these culture wars because they use them as a tool to distract their base. And so their grievance politics keeps everyone else unfocused on the fact that their actual policy agenda is solely meant to keep the donor class fat and happy. And so in a way, Ron DeSantis isn't some move away from the establishment. He is a continuation of exactly the same type of politics that Republicans have been employing for decades, a politics that is predicated on treating their own base like idiots while pandering to the wealthy and well-connected. So be on the lookout for Ron DeSantis to continue dumbing himself down to better connect with an audience that he is clearly contemptuous of. Before long, I'm sure we'll start to hear a folksy accent and even for him to start taking cheap shots at cities. For example, he wrote in his memoir, "I was geographically raised in Tampa Bay, but culturally my upbringing reflected the working-class communities in western Pennsylvania and northeast Ohio. From weekly church attendance to the expectation that one would earn his keep, this made me God-fearing, hard-working, and America-loving." So yeah, if you can read that and still not see that Ron DeSantis thinks that his supporters are idiots, then you're just not paying attention. Before you go, a quick announcement. I've started a Spanish YouTube channel. Democrats desperately need to be able to appeal to Spanish-speaking audiences, so this is me doing my part. To help that channel get going in the algorithm so that we can finally start spreading our progressive message and breaking the conservative stranglehold on Spanish-speaking media, please subscribe and watch a few videos. The link to that channel, called Brian Teller Cohen Español, is right here on this screen. And, of course, to see more of my content.
All right, so I wanted to go ahead and play that last part where he was advertising because that was really important to help advertise for the Spanish community. And, you know, and I really thought that, you know, when you hear this stuff about Ron DeSantis and all this stuff the Republicans are doing, folks, if anybody hasn't realized by now that the Republican Party is finished, it is over for the Republicans. There is nowhere for them to go but down, down, down until they hit rock bottom. And believe you me, they're almost there. And they're desperate. These Republicans are so desperate that they are doing anything possible to help the rich and the elite to get what they want. So be warned when it comes to the next election, when you think it's all right to vote for a Republican, and you start to realize they're the ones who don't want to help you. So why are you voting for them when you live on welfare, when you live in a tin roof type of shack in the middle of nowhere thinking that they're going to give you money? They have never in their entire lives, and as the Republican Party has been put together, they have never cared about the American people. They are about the wealthy and the rich because they're all about corporations and giving them tax breaks, while you, the Americans, who go to work every day working your ass off, has to pay more taxes. Think about that. Is that really justified for you as an American citizen? Is it fair? Think about that. All right, let's get Ms. Paula Alexander in here, because she is ready to roll, roll, roll. I, you know what's funny is, hey, take a listen before I get Paula in there. So everybody that knows that I've, you know, what, about 2.5 weeks ago now, I had a heart attack. I've been on the Mediterranean diet. I've been dieting. I've been doing pretty good with this. And honestly, let me just tell you, before I had the heart attack and they cleared up the blockage and put the stents in, I would always be short-winded. I mean, if I walked, you know, a distance or whatever, you know, I would be short-winded. If I even talked and I started to run out of breath, I would be short-winded. Sometimes I would get real dizzy and feel like I was going to pass out. And so we went up to my mother-in-law's house over the weekend, and she has in her backyard, she has all the way in the back, and believe you me, to walk her backyard is the length of a football field. But to get to the very back of it, she has a huge garden that she is did some tomatoes and cucumbers, peas, and so forth. And so, in order to get back there, a lot of people who have bad backs and stuff, you would take a little cart that she has, and you would ride the cart back there, and that way you wouldn't be out of breath or feel like you're dying. So she has lived there for over 8 years. And every time we would go there, I would always have to use a cart because I could never walk all the way back there. And it was really kind of shocking to me because I thought maybe it was my lungs. And honestly, I was like, man, my lungs are pretty fucked up. And it's because I'm a smoker and I cannot literally walk back there. And so over the weekend, we went up there. Like I said, it was on Saturday. We went up there. And Virginia and her mom was in the house, and they're talking, and they're doing whatever. And something in my mind, something in my brain said, I want to go on a walk. I feel like I haven't got energy because now I have all this energy now. And I'm serious. I get, like, a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy. My oxygen level used to be around 95 every time I'd look at my oxygen level. It's now at 98, 99. And it always remains there. That's what's cool. And so I thought to myself, well, I have to start cardiac rehab really soon on the 30th, on the 3rd of March, of April. And so I'm going to have to walk treadmill. And I'm like, treadmill? Fuck's sakes, I hate treadmills. I don't like to walk 2 minutes long unless they're going to make me walk about 3 to 6 minutes. So I'm like, shit, man, I'm going to have to do so. I have to start exercising, right? And so, like I said, I'm standing there, you know, contemplating. I really wanted to go back here and look at her garden. Well, the thing was is that the cart was being charged, so it wasn't didn't have no juice to go back there. And so I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to start walking back there and see, you know, just start walking. If something happens, you know, I can call somebody to come back here and pick me up. And so I started to walk. I just started taking off, walking back there, and I started walking further and further and further. And finally, I made it all the way back to the garden. And I was looking at the tomatoes and everything. I thought, man, this is just beautiful. Then I realized when I had my pocket, I was going to take a picture of the garden. And I realized that I didn't have my cell phone with me. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't even have my cell phone with me. Well, turned around, started walking back. And so I'm starting to walk back. And I wasn't really short-winded, okay? I did have a little anxiety because I was kind of worried, you know, freaking myself out, thinking the what-if syndrome. And I was kind of freaking out. But I let it go. Continued to walk, and I walked up, and all of a sudden I get closer and closer to the house, and Virginia and her mom is looking out the window at me, and I started to walk up, and they're like, where'd you go? I said, I went back to the garden, and they're like, oh my God, we were watching you. We were like, oh my God, we're so proud of him that he went all the way back there and walked this whole length of a football field to make it back there and didn't have any issues. And I was so excited because I'm like, I actually did it. And honestly, like I said, I feel 30 years younger, man. So I am so happy to be alive, for one. But I am so happy to feel like I'm – and the way I look at it is like this, is that I feel like I'm in a newborn body. And so I'm calling it like my body had to be rebooted, and now I've got a good heart now, good blood flow, good oxygen, and energy. So it's like having a new body. And basically I just got upgraded, right? That's what happened. And so now it's like being reborn again and walking and feeling good. And now that I have a healthy body, I cannot go backwards to the bad lifestyles. So I'm standing forward. I'm moving on point. And I'm in the process of still quitting smoking. The diet thing is going great. I just weighed myself today, and I actually lost 8 more pounds. So I've lost a total of 28 pounds since the 8th of March. So I'm very excited. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. to know where I, you know, what was going on with me, okay? So let's get back to, I'm going to get Paul in here because we got to get right to the point of this politics because there's a lot to cover. And Paula, I know she is ready to go, so let's get her in here.
Down, you got a lovely face. We're going to your place, and now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud, getting fucking laid. You want me to stay, but I got to make my way. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep it right on. Hey. Y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep my right on.
Oh, yay. What's up, Miss Paula Alexander? Hello, hello, hello.
Hey. Hey, hey, hey. Can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, okay. All right. All right, yeah, there's a lot to cover. I just want to go back. You started off, I have to, like, I should write your stuff down that you talk about. I want to go back to the very very beginning when you were talking about Republicans becoming white nationalists. Listen, I mean, these days, if you are a Republican, you are a white nationalist. Plain and simple.
Oh, absolutely.
They are. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it didn't used to be that way, or maybe they were all hiding it because, you know, it became uncivilized and demeaning, you know, made them look bad. But ever since Donald Trump made it be okay to bring out your white supremacist side again. Okay. And they're not hiding it. They're just not hiding it anymore. And this
right,
is a funny
right.
thing. I've kind of brought this up before, that when I had my DNA ran, that I came from I came from African Eve, which is there are two women that they've come up with in genetic research that came from, I can't remember, 300,000 years ago, where, like, basically the human race began. Turns out, I've learned since I brought that up, that geneticists, everybody on the face of the earth, you, me, uh-huh. Donald Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the lady next door, every single person on the face of the earth came from those two African women. So,
really?
isn't it fun to think about all these Republican white supremacists out there that came from African women? I mean, think about that. How and you know, but dumbasses are such dumbasses that they would probably deny it. I did not come from those women. No, that's not. Nope. I'm not. I don't have any black blood in me. Are you kidding me? They would deny it.
Oh, my God,
probably
that's funny.
They would probably deny it to the hilt. You know what I mean? Oh, no.
Right.
Not me. I was born in Nordic. My ancestors came from England and from Ireland and from Scandinavia, from Norway, from Sweden. Well, where the fuck do you think those people came from? Those people came from those two women in Africa. everybody on the face of the earth originated with those two women in Africa. I think it's hilarious to think about, you know, teaching these stupid, you know, Ku Klux Klan, Klannies, white supremacists that they actually were birthed. Their ancient ancestors were black women from Africa. It's hilarious to think about.
if only they really understood that, right?
right. So, yeah. So I think it's trippy. But they're so stupid. These people are so stupid. They can't see beyond their narrow little brain cell in the recesses of their mind to understand history, genetics, science, and how the world works. Those people that originated from those two women, eventually their ancestors migrated north into the Middle East, into Europe, and, you know, Asia, and all across the world. And that's how, you know, that's why everybody comes from them. It's hilarious. It's hilarious to think about.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. Yeah.
Guess what, Mama? You got some black blood in you. I do not. You're lying. Oh, not lying. So, let's move on to the Trump rally.
Yes.
Okay, the Trump rally. Can you, I, first of all, I just want to say that the two top contenders for the Republican Party are both evil assholes. Why is the Republican Party being so stupid? It's either Donald Trump or Ron
DeSantis.
That's
a great point.
I mean,
yeah.
Really,
why
can't they find a better that is charismatic and charming? And the Republican Party needs a candidate, a Republican version of Obama, you know.
Yeah, that's what they need. Exactly.
They need a conservative Republican. I mean, my God, Obama was charming, intelligent. I mean, the total package. And he got elected even though he was a black man because of all that. And I'm not saying they need to elect a black man, the Republican Party. I'm saying it's the other traits. It's the personality, the charm, you know, everything about Obama.
Oh yeah.
They need their somebody that could reach out and spark the Republicans, like Obama sparks the Democrats.
Yeah.
And
yeah, somebody with that true Republican value, the true Republican values, like it was a long time ago. They need somebody that would have that true Republican values. And I always thought maybe they would find somebody, but look who they chose. Donald Trump and fucking DeSantis, of all people.
I know. Right. Exactly. I mean, when you said the Republican Party isn't dead. I wouldn't say it was dead yet, like you said. I would say it's dying.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going down.
Not dead.
Yeah, they haven't hit rock bottom yet, but they're there almost.
I mean, it's they're nothing but a freaking clown show. It's total nutcases in this party now. And speaking of the rally, let's go back to the rally. I mean, how stupid. Yeah, it went over with those people in the audience there. But how stupid do you have to be to know that you caused the attack on the Capitol building on January 6th and that people are in prison for it, and to use those prisoners that attacked, and trust me when I say the Capitol building is the building, the most sacred building in the country, over the White House. It is where our laws are made. It's when decisions are made upon the lives of Americans. It is the most important building in the country. And yet Donald Trump sent thugs to attack that building that is sacred to every single American, and then have the fucking gall to have the prisoners that attacked it to sing backup on a fake sleazy song. That, I mean, I just want to puke. I mean, it just, it makes me sick to think about what he did.
Oh, yeah.
And yet they applauded. And also, during that rally, Marjorie Taylor Greene was there. Have you seen what she said?
Uh-uh.
You know, she's called for the impeachment of Biden like 7-8 times, something like that, right?
Huh.
Well, during her speech, she said that they are investigating the money to this. Now, take this as a hypothetical. This is not really what I'm saying. I'm repeating what she said. Okay? That they're investigating money that China gave to Hunter Biden and was funneled into the Biden bank accounts. And that what she said about impeaching him was true. She's lying through her fucking teeth. She is just like Donald Trump. She's insane. She's a pathological liar. It's all fucking made up. And if they can pull investigative facts out of their assholes in order to prove this, they'll try and do it. Because it's not real. She lied.
Yeah.
She lied, and they applauded her for lying to them. That's how stupid Trump supporters are. They don't even do their own research or their own investigative work. I mean, compared to Donald Trump not only had bank accounts in China, he had products made in China. His daughter Ivanka had products. She had, I think, 40, I heard differing accounts. I've heard 41 trademarks with China. And Donald was trying to get a deal in China to build buildings, like hotels, casinos, I don't know what all. I don't know exactly what he was trying to build. I just know it was a building, probably a hotel. And that's why he left him. So when you give me this bull crap about Biden, Hunter, having money in China, give me a fucking break, you lying bitch. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, I've always said when Trump announced his kid, he's always given me, as a gifted person, I always got that negative, evil vibe off of him, I mean, energy off him, like real, like not minor, like big time, really bad, negative energy off him. Marjorie Taylor Greene gives me the same energy that Trump does.
Yeah. Yep. It's almost like the female version of Trump. I mean, you can just feel it.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yep. So, yeah, so that's when she got up in front of that crowd. I was right. She's screaming. I was right. I was right. We were right to want to, I was right to want to impeach Biden. I know. She's pulling lies out of her asshole. I mean, she just literally is lying through her teeth to try and get these people to support her and Trump. It's sickening. It's really sickening. So, what else do we want to talk about?
Well, we talked about that, you know, the whole thing with Trump and that, and it's really interesting that, you know, it's funny. I've been seeing a lot of memes on that Michelangelo situation down here in Florida.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of those?
Oh, I've shared them. I just shared another one a little while ago. Yep. Yep. Yeah, it is okay. There is a statue in Italy. That was sculpted, it's an ancient statue sculpted by Michelangelo, one of the most gifted sculptors that's ever lived on the face of the planet, of a naked David, like David and Goliath, you know, in the Bible, and David is naked.
Right.
David is naked.
Yeah, I did see that one.
Well, Michelangelo was gay, but beside that point, he did women nudes, too, so female nudes sculptures, too. So he did this sculpture naked of David. So his penis is showing. So there is a principal at a school that was teaching sixth graders about Michelangelo and about the sculpture of David. And a parent complained to the school board about him and got fired. Now, this sculpture was meant to be put in a church, in a cathedral of all places, a place of worship, because it was biblical. But I don't know who was in charge of putting in its thought and decided it was too beautiful to hide away in a cathedral and put it in, I believe it was the town square. So they have taken this beautiful nude sculpture of David, that the most prolific sculptor who's ever lived sculpted, and made it into pornography.
Oh my God!
So you know, I know Arkansas is bad. Arkansas is about as bad as Florida, but Florida is really bad with this shit. About you know.
It's weird because Florida's really, there's really been it's like the most racist, bigoted state or some shit. Because like, if you ever notice, they've went after the LGBTQ community, and now they're going after you know, all kinds of different things. But now they circle back to Michelangelo. Obviously, that's something that, like you said, if with him being gay, then obviously they have a thing against gay people. So if you're gay, they don't want it in their state, you know.
Well, but the thing is, Jerry, I doubt they even knew that Michelangelo was gay. Maybe the
probably not.
These people are so uneducated. The people complaining about this, they don't read about history. They don't know anything about history. I doubt very seriously that they knew Michelangelo was gay. And that had nothing to do. Like I said, he sculpted and painted. I mean, Mona Lisa, too. He painted Mona Lisa. Wasn't it Michelangelo? Yeah. Or no, maybe that was Rembrandt. I can't remember. Anyway, he painted and sculpted women too. It wasn't just naked men. So
right.
It's just really, really ignorant.
Do you know, I think they would actually have a problem. Could you imagine if they were to see the, I don't know if you remember this, you probably do remember this, I mean, when you lived in Cincinnati, but do you remember when Mapplethorpe came to Cincinnati and they banned it because it was such a vile display of, like, you know, naked people and all kinds of weird shit, you know? And, you know, the one showed like a giraffe with a fire extinguisher up its ass or some shit. It, you know, Mapplethorpe is a weird, you know, artist, but a lot of artists are weird. And I could just imagine if they had Mapplethorpe displayed down in Florida, those people would go apeshit over that stuff.
Yeah, well, they would now. I don't.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, could you imagine Mapplethorpe being in Florida today? I mean, that would be bad, you know, because everybody, you know, didn't like the homosexual stuff that they put out and, you know, the different things where it showed, like, you know, like male genitalia and shit like that. I'm going to see if I can find you some Mapplethorpe. I'm going to show you. Because I think that if you see this, you're going to be like, oh, my God. But that's this is the when I show you it, then you'll see that you'll see what they, you know, like what these people have gone crazy. I'm gonna see if I can find some pictures of that for you, because I know that I really feel like if you see it, you're gonna be like, you'll know some of his artworks. Let me see if I can pop them up here and see if we can throw some of the ones that were the most, I mean, some of them were just like off the wall shit. And it wasn't like it was weird. It was just who Mapplethorpe is. Okay, yeah, here's one. Like, this is one of them that got him banned. This is one that got him banned right here.
Not sitting in front of my phone.
I'm going to send it to your messenger, so when you have a chance. Like, this picture is a guy sitting on a chair. He's naked, and he's got his leg popped up, and his, you know, of course, his penis is showing. And, you know, this is like, you know, when this shit came to Cincinnati, they went fucking nuts over this. They showed a black woman and a black man, and that was too racy for them. And so, and this was out, this came to Cincinnati probably in the 80s.
Hey, see, I wasn't there then. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I think it was around the 80s.
I didn't go there until 93.
It's weird, man. I'm looking at the photos now, and I'm thinking back to some of these photos, and I'm thinking, oh my God, yeah. I mean, he was kind of like that one guy. Who was the artist? Andy Warhol, kind of like, in a sense. You know, he had a weird visions. So, you know, but they figured it was art, you know, back then. And that's, so they've, but I feel like they've taken the like what artists do, and they turn it into racy, you know, it's not what a, it, you know, you don't do that, you know, that's what they feel. But the naked body, if you ever notice, artists always paint naked people. I mean, they do it all the time. So.
Want to hear what somebody's doing in retaliation of Florida laws against pornography and gays and all that? I hear what somebody is doing in Florida. It's Florida. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
I'm in front of my. I'm sitting by my door right now. Do you know what I mean? Tell you what I'm doing.
Oh yeah, we got a few phone calls, by the way, Paula. So I just want to let you know.
Okay. Let me tell you what they're doing. What they're trying to get the Bible banned for pornography. There is
the Bible banned for pornography.
Yeah. There are pornographic verses in the Bible. I don't know. That. Know that?
Pornographic parts of the Bible?
There are pornographic verses in the Bible. So somebody
Ooh.
Is fighting back. By trying to, well, okay, you're going to ban that. Let's ban the Bible because it's full of pornography. Okay. I'm pulling up your...
Okay. And we'll take a couple of these calls. If you guys want to call in, you're more than welcome to. The phone number is 516... 387-1356 is our phone number here. Paula, are you ready?
No, real quick. Let me tell you about one of the verses. Real
okay.
Quick. There is a verse that says, "There she lusted after her lovers, genitals like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of horses." And that is Ezekiel 20:20. That's in the Bible,
wow.
People. Genesis 19:8. Look, I have, this is in modern language, but basically what it says, look, I have two daughters, virgins, both of them. Let me bring them out to you and you can do what you like with them. But do nothing to these men because they have come under the shelter of my roof. Said that, but it was in Genesis.
Wow.
Genesis 19:31-35. Lot's daughters sleep with their father. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." There was incest in the Bible. Yep. This is all incest. This is all in
Bible. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever known that. I never read that stuff. Well, of course, you know, there's a lot
here,
in the Bible.
I've
but
got, let me, I have a whole list of not just pornography, but, like, death and stuff. I've got a list of Bible verses that talk about that to you. You can look them up. You don't have to do it now, but never. Okay, so look, you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, whenever you're ready. You just let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. It looks like the first one we have here is from Tallahassee, Florida, from Florida. Let me see if I can get them here on the line. From Florida itself. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? First off, I just want to say that it wasn't Michelangelo that painted the Mona Lisa. It was Leonardo da Vinci. And I don't think there's that many. There's that much evidence that Michelangelo is gay. He might be, but there's more evidence pointing to Leonardo da Vinci being gay than Michelangelo.
Yeah, you're right.
They were artists, and you know, sometimes artists. I don't know. It just seems like so many artists are gay. Like the photographer Mapplethorpe, he's known gay. And I think what made his art, his photography, very special for the time period was that he actually came out and showed that he was gay. Where in that time period, in that time period, it was forbidden to be gay. It was bad. Like, you would get beat up if you said that you were gay. So for an artist to come out and just physically, But anyway, this is what I wanted to say. Since you were on the subject of art, I wanted to ask you your opinions about cartoons these days having so much sexual context in it, mainly homosexual content in it. Like, for example, Superman is gay now. They're writing a Superman book. Yeah, and then there's Batman and Robin. There's a Robin now that's gay. And I don't know if you're familiar with Scooby-Doo, but there's Velma, who is a homosexual now, a lesbian. And then there's this one cartoon geared towards children between the ages of 5 and 10. It's something like a Barney. It's called Peppa Pig. And in there, they have characters that have homosexual parents. So I was wondering how you feel about that coming out now, that type of art geared towards children.
Sure. Paula, you want to go first?
Oh, you're going to give it to me. Okay.
Ladies first.
All right. So reason Americans or people have only in recent years started coming out and, you know, started like basically in the 70s, San Francisco, announcing they were openly gay. It's because it's always been ostracized, condemned, wrong, you know, real against it. Meanwhile, there are people, and especially young people, that have either been killed or committed suicide because of the trauma of knowing they like the same sex and not being able to talk about it. Like Matthew, what was his name, in Idaho? That was killed by a group of his peers, left on a fence. This day he is celebrated. Because his classmates found out gay and killed him. There are gay and lesbian people that commit suicide that have to go into therapy, that become alcoholics and drug addicts because they're not accepted. So, and there are children. It's a known fact. You can read stories online from parents that say they knew their child was gay, or the child saying they knew they were gay when they were little. Like 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. They didn't want to wear, like, these gay boys didn't want to wear boy clothes. They wanted to wear girl clothes. Knowing that there was something different about them. And so what these cartoons do and what the books do that they're banning is it gives these children who have no control over their sexuality. They're born that way. An outlet, a comfort, a way of saying,
yeah,
look, there are people like there out there like me, and I don't have to feel so bad, and I don't have to think about killing myself, or I'm able to be able to talk about it with my mom and dad because the cartoons and the books allow it to be acceptable. So
yeah.
I think it's important, and this is what the Republicans, the anal kind of Christian zealots, I have nothing against Christianity. I have everything against the Christian Christians who decide to give their own opinion what the Bible is mm-hmm. supposed to be about and condemn gay people and lesbians and trans for who they are. It's not Jesus-like. Jesus accepted everybody. And mm-hmm. I believe you told me about the Bible verse, and I think I looked it up once. I think it's in Isaiah, where, I mean, for God's sake, Jesus was followed around by 12 men. Hello? And he was close to them. And one of them slept with his head on Jesus' chest. And I believe that was in Isaiah. I think. I could be wrong on that. So when I see these uptight, anal retentive, hateful Christians, I want to scream. So I think it's important that there is a visual and there's written words that help these people survive. They're human beings, they're God's children, just like everybody else. This person's still on the line.
Yeah. Yeah,
Are you listening? Okay. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I just don't like to interfere. I'm not one of those people that have egos that have to cut over. I would like you to speak your whole mind, and then I'll come afterwards with a rebuttal. But go ahead.
Thank you for not talking over me. I appreciate that. Because we do have callers that talk over me. And, okay, so what's your rebuttal? I'm done.
Well, first off, do you not think that, like, cartoons influence people? See, when I grew up, superheroes influenced me to do better. I think, like, the concept of a superhero was for kids that got bullied. And so when you had, like, a superhero character that was strong and powerful, so the readers of these comic books would imagine that they're this strong, powerful person that bullies could not beat up. That's why you have characters like Superman that so many people idolize. It's hard for a bully to beat up somebody that powerful, right? So flash forward to now, these new comic books don't have that narrative, but they're pushing a narrative more for homosexuality. And my only fear is that, because I don't understand gay. I'm not gay. I don't understand homosexuals yet. I don't know when they decide that they are gay. I don't know if they are born and they automatically have this affection towards the same race, or if it's some sort of influence along the way. Something happened to them, like maybe another boy touched them or something like that, that trigger that impulse in them. And the only fear I have is when children watch this type of stuff and they automatically think it's okay to be gay. I think, me personally, I don't think I'm gay because a lot of children said it was wrong to be gay when I was growing up. And that's why I don't think I am gay now, because it was looked down on. And my friends always said, you know, gay people are bad. So in subconsciously in my mind, I thought that, okay, gay people are bad. I'm not going to be a gay person. Just like I'm not going to be a drug addict because people said drug people are bad. That's why I am not that person. So for a cartoon to say it's okay to be gay, I kind of fear what's going to happen to the youth that we have these days that are coming up. That's my rebuttal on that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have gay friends.
Yeah.
I have lesbian friends.
My brother is gay, by the way, just to let you know.
Okay. Then you should know. I mean, how did your brother become gay? How old is he?
He's probably in his 40s right now, and he told me that his first gay experience was a cousin of mine had touched him. And so that was his first – that's when he knew that he was gay, when one of my cousins had touched him. And this was probably around the age of 6 or 7.
Okay. So remember what I said earlier, that there are children, little kids, you know, they're gay. I had a male cousin touch me when I was about 7 or 8. Okay, I knew it was wrong. I didn't like it. But if your brother touched and he enjoyed it and knew that at like 6 years old, then he knew then, like, it sparked something in him, okay, that made him realize that he was gay. And when did he come out?
He probably came out in his 30s. He actually physically, like, he lived with a girl and all that. But just to let you know, my brother and I are different. When we grew up, I had a bunch of friends. He didn't. And so I think personally that it was easy. He was easily influenced by actions. So take, for instance, if you haven't ate for a long time, you're hungry. Right. But if you eat often, you're not so hungry. And I think that me having so many friends and people telling me things, I kind of built a morality around the people that I associated with, an opinion based on what they told me. Whereas my brother didn't have that many friends. He was a loner and he just formulated his own opinions. So when somebody touched him, I think it was easy for him to be influenced, as opposed to me, who has so many friends. If somebody had touched me that way, I would have punched them because I was told that was wrong. Nobody told my brother that was wrong, is the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, let me ask you this. What's more important? What's more important to you as a person? Somebody else tells you or own feeling? What's more important?
I would think that it would be a combination of both. I don't think that we are just born knowing what to do. I think we are taught. I think that if you take a child that's like 5 years old and you put him in a body of a 40-year-old, do you want him to run the country or drive a car or hold a gun or go to work? He hasn't had experience. He hasn't been taught. That's why we go to school. That's why our parents teach us. I think we have to learn from other people.
Let me tell you a story, okay, a personal
one. Sure.
I have a brother, too, that's 18 months younger than me. Okay. And I was about 7, 8 years old. My country grandma, who sewed, wanted to make me a dress. My brother got jealous about 5 or 6. I think about 6. Only 18 months. And he wanted a dress, too. Okay? And believe it or not, back then, it was kind of a joke, but my grandmother made him a dress, too, and had to send it because it was in different states. Well, my brother was all excited, and put the dress on long enough for my mother to take a picture of both of us and our handmade dresses by our grandmother. My brother never wanted to put that dress on again. As he got it on, it did not feel right. And let me remind you, he was like 16. So his own personal feelings, I got that dress. That dress was me. My brother's personal feelings were more important. Let him try it. My parents let him try it. My grandmother let him try it. And he, and in the end, it was experimental and didn't like it. This was like 1959, 1960, something like that. So my brother's personal feelings about that dress were the only thing that mattered. So when you say that these kids are being influenced by superheroes, don't you think that gay kids need superheroes too? Don't you think that they need somebody, even if it's a cartoon character, champion for them and say, it's all right to be different. It's all right to have your feeling. So I disagree with you on that. Now, let me tell you about my gay friend. I have 2 gay friends that are now married to men. But, however, they got married to women, young. They were young and had kids, those women. It wasn't until they were one, they always knew they were gay. They always knew. Because I've talked to both of them about this. I wanted knowledge. I wanted to know how it worked. And both of them said they always knew that they were gay, but they, one, the son of a Baptist priest, and the other one, son of a Hispanic Catholic family. One of them, they, in other words, they got married young, had kids, because that's what was expected of them, because they were afraid to come out of the closet and say, I'm gay, for fear of ostracization and condemnation by their families. And they both eventually, son of the Baptist preacher eventually told his parents, not knowing that they fully accepted him. They would have accepted him no matter what. But he hid it because he was afraid that he would point to her. The Catholic one didn't come out until his father was already passed, and he waited till his mother passed before he finally came out. So and my lesbian friends, one that's really good friend, she's married to her wife. She was basically a wild child searching for what was right for her. Had relationships with three men, which produced three daughters, but also knew that she liked women. It wasn't until he met her wife, and they just clicked, like she had clicked with nobody ever in her life, that they ended up together and married. So I just can't understand how people think that this is, it's, you know, I get this feeling that you think it's a grooming, that big famous word on the internet right now, grooming. It's not grooming. It's natural. It is what is in within their. It is what is within their heart. And another thing, and I've talked about this on the show before too. Did you know that the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans had wives, concubines, and male concubines, and would have gay affairs? And it was completely normal and natural. And this is before Jesus existed. This is before the Bible existed. And these men just would have sex with whomever they felt like, male or female. And my thought is, this is what always confused me growing up, because I grew up in a Baptist. So even though Jesus wasn't alive yet and the Bible hadn't been written, are you telling me that all these that had homosexual sex went to hell? Give me a break.
Please let me ask you this. How about this, all right? Do you think people are born evil? Like, let's take a person that we can agree that's evil. Jeffrey Dahmer, do you think he was born evil, or something happened that made him become that way? I'm not saying that being gay is evil, by the way. This is an analogy of something else.
Okay. Okay. First of all, Jerry and I both. Jerry, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry.
Yep.
Okay. Are you falling asleep on us?
No, I'm just listening to you guys talk there, so you're going to hear it.
Okay.
You hear what you guys are saying
okay.
there.
Okay. Jerry and I are both have six senses. We both have intuitive psychic abilities. We're not on it all the time. But we have a knowledge that is different from other people. Okay? So I've seen evil. I have seen a shadow man in my own bedroom. Did not run, did not hide. Anyway. I don't know if Jerry even knows that story. But anyway, I believe that there are some people that are born evil. Yes, I do. I do. And I believe in the dark side too, because I've seen it with my own freaking eyes. What I'm trying to get at is that I believe there are people that are born evil, and I think there are people that are, what's the word I want to use? Help me out, Jerry. Infected with evil, that the things that they do in life bring evil to them, and they become evil in the process. I think that's what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer. I could be wrong.
How about, do you think that there are people that were born good, but then something happened to them along the way
yeah.
of their life and they started doing bad? That they were influenced by?
Influenced. That's a good word. Yes.
I
believe in both.
Yeah.
I believe in it both ways.
Okay.
I believe
yeah.
in it both
yeah,
ways.
I mean, I believe in... I mean, I believe in influence. I believe that a lot of people are influenced. I believe our children are influenced. You know, I believe that, you know, they come out with these video games that are very, you know, gory and what the show, blowing people up and killing everybody. And, you know, I believe that does have an influence on children. And as they get older, you know, sometimes they cross the line of what's right and what's wrong. Even though they know the difference between what's right and what's wrong, they just... You know, something makes them into that point. But there actually has been children who have been at the age of 5 who have killed their parents. And they're in. Obviously, I feel like those children, as they got older, I don't think they were influenced that they watched someone, you know, Sesame Street saying, kill your parents, you know. But I do believe that something made them tick in their mind that it was okay to kill their parents, whether it be what we want to call the devil, evil, or whatever. But I just wanted to say something real quick because we were talking about all this stuff, and I just wanted to go back to something. One thing that I – and again, homosexuality on cartoons and that, I feel like, you know, to me, it's not a bad thing. I'm not going to say it's really bad, and it's not really my per se that if I had a son or a daughter that wanted to watch it, I'm not going to tell them, no, I don't think I better let you watch it because that's actually wrong. Because actually what I'm doing is teaching them the wrong way of saying, well, everything that, you know, I believe in, I want to force upon you. So I believe that they have the right to choose what they want to do, regardless of whatever, you know, they pick. Now, yeah, children, you don't want them watching R-rated movies and shit like that. And so, yeah, I can understand that. That would be a difference of it, you know, because you know that's common sense not to – let your children hear somebody's cussing, or I wouldn't care if they were having sex, you know, if it's a male or female, you know, I would not want my child to see that. But, again, like the Batman and everything like that, you know, I feel like it is, does help to teach that it's okay that you have that question you can ask. For example, you guys in Florida, with everything that they're banning, you know, that a teacher – cannot talk to a child if that child comes up and talks to them about anything that deals with homosexuality or anything of that. And so where I have a problem with it is that on the LGBTQ community side, I don't like it that it's forced down my throat. I don't want it to be forced. I want it to be as natural as heterosexuality, you know. But when it comes to schools, let me just say this real quick. When it comes to a school, I feel that if, for example, has a classroom, I'm just going to give you a scenario, and she brings in all of her kids and she says, hey, let's talk about what your parents do for a living. And all the parents, you know, the kids are going through each student and they're saying, well, my dad does this as a nurse, my mom is a doctor, or my dad's a firefighter, my mom's a firefighter, so on and so on. And then they get to little Jimmy, and Jimmy says, well, my dad is a, you know, he's a carpenter, and my other dad is actually a lawyer. So they get to the next child or some children that's in there, and they say, well, Mrs. Rhodes, why does Jimmy have a dad and a dad? Well, now, if that teacher intervenes with it and says, well, you know, I don't know how to explain that, or they bring it to a counselor or anything of that situation, they're going to go to jail. Because they mentioned what, you know, trying to explain this to a child. So what it seems like to me is they're trying to make it out to be that it's bad and it's a disgusting thing and that no one should be able to bring it up at all because it's just disgusting. And we should not teach our children that things that we feel in our own presence is disgusting or bad, that you know, it's their right to choose as well. And when they get 16, what's going to happen? Are they going to resent everybody? When they become an adult, are they going to resent their parents because they were taught wrong or taught right or whatever? So I don't know. It's kind of a conflicting thing with me on that. But that's just how I feel. That's my two cents.
That's some good point. I am scientific, so I do know that. Let me use this this scenario, this analogy of this frog. There's this frog that when it's in a pond and there's not a lot of the frogs, it would populate. You know, it'll be a bunch of males and females, and it'll populate the pond. But when there's too many frogs, for some reason, a bunch of the frogs start turning male, and there's less and less females. And because of this weird sex thing that this frog turns into, it controls the population within the pond. Now, there is a possibility that this planet is doing that to us. So maybe there's an increase in homosexuality these days because the planet is overpopulated. That's a possibility.
It is.
There are more women in the world than there are men. That is true. I hadn't thought about that before.
My only fear is that that's not the possibility. That's my only fear. I hope that's the possibility. My only fear is that's not the possibility, and that for some reason there's this agenda to groom a bunch of kids so that the population does not grow out of control. That's my only fear, that this is done to control the population. That's why there's so much media being pushed out these days of homosexuality to control the population.
Excuse my language, but I hate that fucking word.
What
word?
Grooming. Dude, I don't know if you know this, but there are people in this world with both sets of genitals. Jerry's brother was one of them. This is one of those people on the face of the earth. On the face of the earth that they're... But,
yes.
Help me out here, Jerry. Didn't they have substance abuse problems because...
He did. He drank himself pretty much to death because, you know, he couldn't be accepted by society. I mean, everybody, including our family, would not accept him, even though that he was born with a male genitalia and female genitalia.
I not only that, but I just shared... A link a few days ago about a person who was born, get this, maybe your brother was like this too, born with one ovary and one with one testes. Okay, so this person had one ovary and one ball, both sets of genitals, dressed like a male, redheaded, bike, short haircut, slept with a guy, didn't think they could get pregnant, and I use the pronoun they because it was a they, it was not a he or she, both. Slept with a guy thinking they could not get pregnant and got pregnant. There are people, when I see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene saying there are only two sexes, male and female, I want to rip her tongue out.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. That's not true. I had a second cousin many years passed away because she was, I was a teenager when she died, or in my 20s when she died, and I'm almost 70 now. Same way. She was, I call her she because she was raised as a she. But my mother personally told me, this was her first cousin. My mother personally told me that she was born with both genitals, the penis and a vagina, And this is in Arkansas by a country doctor, birthed by a country doctor. The only child these people ever had, and yet she had both male and female genitalia. And the doctor told her parents, you have to pick, which, how do you want to raise this baby, as a male or a female? And they raised her as a female. And let me tell you, I was young. She was still alive. I have never heard. Gary has got a bass voice, a bass loud speaking voice. I have never heard such a loud bass speaking voice as this woman. She had the voice of a male with a shitload of testosterone. Should have been raised male. Spent her life taking care of her parents, living with her parents, taking care of her parents when they were old and aged and close to death. Lived in their home, same home she'd grown up with as a child, and ended up dying like that. So when I hear people say there's only male and female, that's my cousin and Jerry's brother weren't the only two people. And the one I talked about, they had both a ovary and a ball and a testes. There are animals out there that do this. I just shared another video of a water that has both sexes.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Beautiful work. Okay. I'm trying to get... Oh, my God. Your message.
It's your head up. Oh, excuse me.
Wouldn't that be the steps?
Oh, man. It would definitely. You never know. I mean.
So, I mean, it's almost midnight. Do we have any more phone calls or emails? Or,
We do, actually. I got a few phone calls. The caller that's on the line with us right now, I didn't really get your name or anything, but I just want to thank you for calling in, and actually he just hung up. So
okay.
It was weird, Paula.
I know. Are you serious?
That was...
What you were up
yeah,
to?
I'm serious. That's the... Yeah. So it came from that area, and it said that it was that the last name was that name.
How do you do that if it's fake? I mean, I'm sure
it's really
fake.
Easy. They use a dialer that actually allows them to use other numbers and stuff. They can, you know, people nowadays can say they're calling from any state they want to. I can say I'm calling from Europe.
Right.
But there's
so
a way to tackle into it to break the code is what you do. And that's just the way that you can do. You can hit, like, you do certain things to break the codes, huh?
Sweetheart, I know you're still healing. You getting too tired to go on? Or
no, I'm doing fine. I've got plenty of energy.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel really good. I feel young again. So, Eli, it's like being a teenager again. I'm telling you.
So how many?
No,
how many hours a week?
I used to get tired.
How many hours? Hours back to work, yeah.
So I've been going out and probably working about maybe 7-8 hours, you know, right now. Like I'll take a few more days off and stuff. But yeah, it's getting back to it. I'm feeling a lot better. And,
a day. Are you talking about
you know, I, yes, a
yeah,
day.
I don't, I want you to take care of yourself. I don't want to get that phone call.
Yeah, the cardio. So,
from your wife again.
Well,
and
yeah.
I don't want to scare you, but Jerry had a heart attack.
Yeah, so, but, you know, the cardiologist, you know, when I went to talk to the cardiologist, I felt good about it because he explained to me that, you know, he's like, I just want you to know that, it, you know, you're doing great, you're doing fine. When we looked at your heart's doing, it's in perfect health. So right now, everything in your body's functioning at 100% right now. So you are the healthiest you've ever been since you probably were in your 20s, you know. And so he said, I want you to go back to doing whatever you were doing. I don't want you to back down. I want you to continue doing what you're doing and enjoy life, because if you don't do it, what will happen is you'll start to, you know, seclude yourself, become a, you know, a hermit, and it can actually mentally destroy you. And that's what happens to a lot of heart patients. When they have a heart attack, they start to focus around the heart attack, and then they start worrying about medical stuff like, hey, am I going to have another one? Is it going to happen tomorrow? Or am I going to blah, 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 blah. And so they start checking their blood pressure constantly, like I was doing the first week, and checking my oxygen, checking everything. And that actually is what is not a healthy thing to do. So the cardiologist said, I have to get back to regular life. And he is right, because my first 2 weeks after my heart attack, I was having a lot of anxiety. I was having panic attacks every single day. But as soon as I got back to doing what I was doing, I felt so much better. And so all that stuff is actually, you know, ceased now. So I'm not dealing with any of that anymore, because I truly feel like I got back to being myself. And, you know, walking out there, and like I said, my wife and my mother-in-law's backyard, that was the first time I ever was able to do something like that. And so I felt, I mean, I was feeling really good. And so I still feel good. But, you know, the main thing is, I think changing, you know, the lifestyle and everything was what helped. And, you know, like I said, I've lost 28 pounds since the 8th of March.
Hey,
yeah,
you're sticking to
sticking
the diet,
to the Mediterranean.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you lost 28 pounds. You're, oh, that's great.
28 pounds.
That's great. I have to tell you,
I feel healthy. I really do.
My neighbor and good friend, who helps me get my groceries in and gets my mail, helps me take my trash out. She ran me for yesterday. Is a stroke survivor, a major. She had a major stroke. And she's only 51, I think. And she had the stroke about 2 or 3 years ago. Her hands are still crippled. I have to help her open jars. Her hands are about the only thing that doesn't work. But I have noticed she has developed anxiety and high blood pressure because of the anxiety that it is the afterward effects of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not going to say who she is, but she smokes the wacky tobacco to help her through, and she also takes Xanax prescribed by her doctor to help her get through. And I let her help me, because I know that helping me helps her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She can't.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She was a hairstylist, and her hands are all crippled up, and
really?
Her fingers are all, yeah, deformed now because of the stroke. So she can't cut hair anymore. She can't go back to work.
Man.
And so.
That's a shame.
But I know that helping me helps her. And so
Oh, I'm sure.
I let her.
Absolutely.
I let her help me when, and I help her. You know, like her income is much, much less than mine. So, like you, I help with feeding her sometimes. She's low on money to buy food. I've developed a heart late in life. Used to be all about me. Well, you know, there's an example of change right there. No.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, do we have another phone call or email?
We do. We do have a call, and we have some emails too. And so, with that said, let's do. As a matter of fact, here's what I think. I'm thinking that I'm going to do let's do a couple of emails, and then I'm going to take the phone calls. So whoever's on the line right now, hold on for just like maybe 5 minutes, and I'll bring you in. And then we'll do that. So here's the email. This is somebody who wanted to ask Paula Alexander a question. So if you had your choice between Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, that you had to find out that they were going to take you out and have sex with you, which one would you choose, Paula?
Oh, well, neither one. You idiot. I'm almost 70 years old. I only have sex with myself.
Yeah, so that's all there is to it. See?
I've had
and
a man for my past.
She even uses a vibrator. It's called. His name is Trump Jr. No. Oh, poor Paula.
I even had a very hot ex try to come back into my life within the past 6 months. And New Year's Eve sent me a text out of the clear blue sky after I told him off months earlier. And I sent him back a text. He said, "Are you busy?" I said, "Yes." On New Year's Eve. You know what I was doing? I was sitting on my sofa with a glass of sparkling wine. Watching the ball drop. I was busy watching the ball drop with a glass of sparkling wine. So, you know, and this is a man I used to adore. I don't even let any man into my life anymore. Except you, brother. You are the only man in my life.
Oh, see? Everybody doesn't realize, see, it's what's the important part.
Be jelly every man in out there in internet land, because Jerry, my brother, who is married and I want nothing to do with any man sexually, is the only man in my life. So there, fuck you.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's very true. It really is.
So next email.
You know. All right, next email is from Lewis. Lewis Wright says, "Hey guys, I want to tell you, I want to say it's a fabulous show. Thank you for your great information. And you know, the question I have for you, here it is." Do you, or have you ever heard, and do you believe that there is all these situations that has been going on with the LGBTQ community because maybe the government is trying to force us to focus on people being gay so that we can corrupt our children? What do you think? Oh, God.
I think I already answered that question. No, the government is trying to make it acceptable for people to admit they're gay. They're not trying to force it. Are you? You have to be that fucked up to ask that question, really.
You know this is a Trump supporter because they have no fucking brains, and that's why they're asking these stupid questions.
Right, right.
So fuck you, buddy. Okay, here's one more here. This is from Mary. Well, that's weird. Mary writes.
Yeah, I know, right?
So I yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking when I seen that. So she writes, so I listen to your guys' show all the time, and so I wanted to ask you, when do you think, because you did ask this question earlier in the beginning, when do you think that Donald Trump will be locked up? I'm thinking he's going to be locked by Wednesday. So what do you guys think? What's your all's predictions? And I already gave mine, so I'll let Paula give hers.
I'm clueless, because if he hasn't been locked up by now, I mean, there are people, I just watched a video of a gal today where a judge got pissed off because a gal was brought, this judge was pissed, female judge. That this gal shoplift.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was in jail, first of all, the jail announces she apologized to her like 10 times because she should have only been locked up for one day. The jail people, she came to court with only a top on in her panties because the jail did not provide pants for her. They let her sit in jail without pants on and then brought her in front of the judge without pants on. And the judge had to ask the bailiff to come get her and take her back into the back in the corridors, back in the jail part, to put a jail uniform on, to come back. Okay, so my whole point is, if this gal has been put in jail for 3 days when she was only supposed to be in jail for one day, without proper clothing, why the fuck is Trump not in jail?
That's a great question. I mean, you know. Even that Alex Murdaugh, they locked his ass up quick, you know.
Right. And this guy, it was her first offense ever in her life. A shoplifting charge. The judge was so livid, so pissed off, she dismissed her $100. She was supposed to pay $100 to the court. She dismissed it. Called it a credit. Dismissed it. And after she dismissed it, she goes, please take her to the back so we can get her out of here as soon as possible. So why is Trump not in jail after treason against the United States of America?
Wow.
It does not make any sense. So I'm...
No, it doesn't.
You know, have a problem with this because he should have been in jail right after it happened. Why is Merrick Garland not doing his job? I mean, I realize...
Yeah, well, I don't get that either.
I realized that this is an ex-president of the United States. He's a cult leader. He's a cult leader.
Yes, he is.
And so I realize his cult members, his supporters, the MAGAs, are all going to be up in arms and maybe trying to prevent his jailing from happening. But I don't care. The man committed treason. I don't get it.
Exactly.
So
he needs to pay the price for it.
I'm not going to make a prediction, but I'm curious to see if yours comes true.
I know. I'll be so excited.
You know,
let's go to our...
Do you realize that if he's arrested, he cannot run for a president?
That this is true. It really is. I see that probably being a real shitstorm coming.
Yeah.
You know.
So, next one.
And and it's funny you say that because, I keep thinking to myself, Donald Trump has done nothing but he just came out just recently and said there's going to be bloodshed and destruction if he's indicted. And so, you know, I don't know why they haven't put that as a threat against him.
Right. Well, and this is something I wanted to bring up, and I forgot about it. Do you know the DA of New York that's about to indict him was sent a package, a letter, with powdery stuff in an envelope? Alvin Bragg.
Really?
Yes. Alvin Bragg is
so
a black man. The district attorney of New York.
So somebody sent him a package?
Somebody sent him a letter with a powdery substance in it. Yes. And said, I can't remember exactly what it said. Basically, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you. Something like along those lines. The threat. Now, they put the powdery substance. It was nothing. It wasn't anything. It was probably baking soda or something like that.
Or Donald Trump Adderall.
Well, could be. It could be. So what
There's
Donald Trump said. So what Donald Trump is saying is directly affecting the life of the district attorney that's about to indict him.
Ooh, not good. And you can't tell me he shouldn't be going to jail for shit like that?
Exactly.
If you threatened,
exactly.
If you did it and I did it, we'd be in jail right now.
Exactly.
For making a threat.
Right.
That's how.
So I don't know if they found this. I don't know if they found this guy or not, but.
Okay, let's go to our phone call because it's getting down to the nitty gritty here. So, let's go to 434.
Hey.
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 Khalil?
How's it going?
Is that you?
Yep.
Hey, Khalil.
Yep, it is.
He lives,
hey,
what's up,
doing?
Brother?
Doing okay.
Good, how are you?
Good. I felt a little weird about that call. I mean, he was respectful, but he had bad analogies, and I disagreed with him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. If you only knew what Jerry knew.
I mean, my God, if all I can say is that if George Santos was here, he would probably think that was weird, too.
Exactly.
I had a dream.
Shall we Should we out the caller, Jerry?
Not quite yet. Probably not quite yet.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I had a dream that I was outside of anti-gay group was outside of my and I had a dream. I told them join an organization with some substance with it that has some respect. I had a dream I told somebody that was with an anti-gay fake family values group.
Oh.
Say that again.
I told a anti-gay group to join, be a part of an actual family organization that's about some substance, not trying to stop gay people from having rights.
Right.
And I'm a part of an organization that has substance anyway because the group I'm a part of is called Moms Demand Action. You heard of that?
What is it?
Moms Demand Action.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the strangest thing is every time I come to this organization, there's someone there, you know, jotting down things, taking pictures and jotting down things, and they're asking questions. Like they're at our meetings, and we don't know who these people are.
Well, did they answer them?
Yeah, and the thing is, one of them I actually thought was a part of the group, but they weren't a part of the group. Jerry, it's strange because basically the person that I thought was a part of the group had a business suit on, and they had like you know those black and gold FBI pins.
Yeah, yep, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
They had one of those. And she was writing notes.
No way,
down,
did they
like
really?
That. Yeah, she had a black and gold pen, and she was writing notes down. She was, she had a business suit on and stuff like that at the event.
Really?
Yep.
Man, see, that sounds very interesting. Like, oh, by the way, Khalil, I just want to let you know that I found. So when I was going through all my police stuff, I found some stuff that was some of my training manuals. That was it was pertaining to like Secret Service and FBI, and when we work with them, you know, and stuff like that. And I didn't know if you knew some of this stuff, so I figured I would kind of give you some facts about the Secret Service and FBI that you may or may not know. I'll tell you about the Secret Service first. So did you know that when the Secret Service protects the President of the United States and they have that detail, that the vehicle that they drive, the President, is called the Beast. And the Beast, it actually has refrigerators inside the vehicle, and they also have stocked in the Beast, in the walls of the Beast, they have MREs. That way, if they were to sustain a nuclear attack, that car could actually survive through a nuclear attack, including that they could have enough MREs to eat for a whole year. And
wow.
They also keep stocked in there the blood of the, you know, like blood that has the same letter or whatever of the President, in case they are shot or something happens, they can actually administer the blood immediately in the Beast.
Yep.
And so
yeah,
they are trained to do that, to administer blood. And that's something else that they have. And inside the Beast, they have one rocket launcher, one M16 rifle. They have four Glocks. And then they also have six hand grenades, all ready to be used in case of an emergency.
Wow.
They also The President is always filmed anywhere they go. They're always filming him in case something happens.
Oh, yeah.
It also says, check this out. It also says that when the president is inside the White House floor is all equipped with sensors in the floor to know where the president is standing at all times.
So,
pretty cool.
Does he, okay, does that mean the president carries, like, some sort of GPS in his pocket?
Yes, they actually put, so he has tracking devices inside his shoes, inside one ink pen, the watch he carries, inside the lapel of his flag pin that he usually carries, on the outside of his attire or jacket, and also in case of a situation was to occur, like he was to get captured or kidnapped, they also have one that is embedded in when they give him his vaccines and stuff like that. They actually inject one in there for a tracking in case of an emergency.
Holy crap. Is that on an article?
No, it's in our training book. It tells us what to be prepared for and stuff, you know, if we have to deal with FBI,
what?
Secret Service. Because we did a lot of work, you know, where you had to work with these guys.
What was about the FBI you were about to say?
And, yeah, so now the FBI, I'll just give you a couple of the FBIs real quick. So a couple of these are that, and this is what you were talking about with the ink pens. So the ink pens that they carry can normally be used as, here's what they say, they can be, the colors are usually blue or black and gold, blue and gold, or they can be total silver all the way down. Inside these pens, they have equipped a way for them to write down notes, but also it is also equipped as a weapon as well, that it can fire off one shot if they were close enough to a person that needs to be done. So it is also a one bullet fits inside that, the ink pen, and then the rest of it is used for taking notes, and it also has a tracking device in there in case something is to need to be tracked. They can actually slip this pen inside of somebody's pocket or inside something.
So is this on the – this is – wait a minute. Where did you get this information?
This is a book that we received when I was a police officer and training of, like, federal government, of the FBI, Secret Service,
okay,
CIA, and Homeland Security. All this stuff was something that I received a long time ago where they taught us what to expect if you were to get around, like the FBI, the CIA or whatever. Because you got to understand, sometimes when I was working, you know, you would have, like, the president come in town and shit like that. Every time they come in town, check this out, though. I do know this because when I was a police officer, it was actually President Bush came to town. And so when he came to town, Bush Jr., we had to have all of the police officers, even though you were a police officer, had to have background checks. And then what they would give us is they would give us a certain item that with me, what it was a lapel pin that had, I think mine was like, it was like a letter C on it. And so you put it on your uniform, and that lets them know if you are the right person to be in that area. So that way, if somebody was to steal a police officer's uniform or whatever, they would know 100% for a fact that that's the person that it needs to be where they're at. So I remember I had to put the lapel pin on when Bush came to town, and we escorted them. And I remember I had to research what the FBI and everything do. When Bush came to town, he landed at Lunkin Airport. And so we had to go. This was like a week before President Bush came to town. We followed the FBI around and the Secret Service, and we had to go to every manhole that was around that airport, and we had to tape it. We had to look down in there, check it, clear it, tape it, and if that tape was broken at any time, type, you know, like between that and when he was landing, they would have to change the route. And I remember that very clearly.
So
you said that
Kalel, you go first. Go ahead.
You said that that was the black and gold pin is the official pin for the FBI?
That is a special pin for the FBI. That is correct. Secret Service, they use something. No, however, Secret Service do use a pen that's just like it, but their pens will have the presidential seal on it. That's how you'll know the difference. It'll have the presidential seal, which indicates that they are Secret Service.
So it just when you see someone with a pen like that, it means they're not a civilian.
That is correct.
Okay.
No. Something occurred to me, Jerry. No wonder the MAGAs, MAGA Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz and all these MAGA, James Comer, are trying to, and Jim Jordan is a big one. No wonder.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to condemn the FBI and the CIA.
Exactly.
Think about that.
I mean, it makes sense to you. Right.
Yeah, because without those protections in place for the President of the United States, somebody could go in and assassinate the President of the United States, like they did John Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. It's very easily that it could be, you know, that they can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets kind of a scary situation here. But they do, the thing I think it's interesting is that whenever the President is doing anything in life, as soon as he takes oath of office, that he is constantly being recorded. Even if he's in the Oval Office speaking any security, anything private, it's always being filmed and recorded. And when the President leaves the office and he's done, they actually destroy all that footage because it's no longer needed.
Wow.
And so that's kind of like the sense of, you remember what happened with, you know, Richard E. Nixon? Good old Richard Nixon, he recorded himself, and he got himself in trouble. But that's kind of like how it began, in a sense, you know. I mean, that's what they do. And inside the president's desk, he has a secret compartment, actually, if he pushes a button. There's actually a loaded Glock inside there.
No, and no wonder Trump is condemning the FBI and the CIA and the... Because he knows.
It makes sense.
He knows what they do.
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty scary, you know, that
it
he...
Is.
And even though the government, those are all different parts of the government, the president doesn't really have any say over them because they work for the United States government itself. However, if the president was to fire the head of the office, is how it can be done, is through that part of it. Secret Service, now, if they try to eliminate one of them, like fire them or whatever, the president can is that that's somebody they can actually totally get rid of. They can terminate him in 2 seconds. And so that's something that happened when Joe Biden took over. He got rid of all the Secret Service, and the reason why he did, and he replaced them, because they were all part of Donald Trump's Secret Service. And so they're loyal to Donald Trump, obviously. And he doesn't want any of that shit in his Oval Office being reported back to Donald Trump.
Right.
Hey.
But you know he didn't get rid of the head of the FBI, Chris Wray.
Nope.
His name is Chris Wray. He did not get rid of Chris Wray. So Chris Wray is the head of the FBI. He's a Republican.
Yep.
But he's loyal to the United
Very
States
loyal.
Of America. Yes.
That's
he did
what makes
not
it nice.
Get rid of, and that's why Donald Trump fired Chris Wray.
Yep.
James Wray. I'm sorry. That's why he fired
James Wray.
James Comey.
That's right. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yep. He fired James Comey.
James Comey was there because James Comey was under President Bush as well.
Right. And he was
He went back
loyal.
A long way.
Yes.
Yep.
And he was also a Republican, but more loyal to the country constitution than Donald Trump.
Yep. Did you, Khalil, did
oh
you have something you said there? I kind of missed you.
I found out, I'm going to be, I didn't know this, but it was strange because, like, unlike the other agent that was writing notes down at the Obama event, I didn't see an outline of a gun. So I was told, I'm guessing they had it more concealed. I'm guessing because they were wearing a suit, they weren't wearing street clothes when they were writing it down at the black and gold pen at my meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just seen a black and gold pen. I seen a suit, but I didn't see an outline of a gun. And I was told that when you don't see that, usually it means it's more concealed.
Well, yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, nowadays they actually have those guns where they actually put them inside their vest. And it literally you can't even tell that you couldn't even tell if they had one or not.
Oh. But you were able to tell that what I was telling you, that was an FBI agent, even if I wasn't, like, let's say, even if you didn't study that, would you have been able to tell that the person that was writing notes down at the political event was an FBI agent, the one at the Monitor Man Action meeting?
Yes, because as soon as you brought that up, I went and I looked it up in my book here to see what chapter it was, and so I flipped to it, and it did bring up something, and it brought up about the ink pens. And I'm like, I know there was something about ink pens they told us a long time ago, and that is exactly what it was, man. Yep, and you're exactly right on, brother.
Yeah, as long as they are good with us and I'm good with them, because they basically, I'm guessing they were making sure that the group was peaceful. And plus, the senator was there. Senator for our state.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
only would
have been sure.
So I'm guessing it was both things, and even when the Senate, well, every time we went, there was some type of political person there, so. But basically, it was
yeah.
They were just writing notes down and stuff. And I've seen, like, movies like King where the FBI would be writing notes, but this one would be a little bit different.
You want to hear what's crazy?
Yeah.
That if Donald Trump is indicted, arrested, his Secret Service detail has to lead him into court.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So
that's
you know,
crazy.
So it makes you wonder if they're loyal to the Constitution and the country or Donald Trump.
That's exactly what that is. It's kind of creepy in a sense, but you know what it is, and but that's a good point. Hello, he just accidentally, I think he just hung up by accident or something because he's gone. And with that said, because we're actually at the end of the show anyway, sorry, Khalil, but I don't know. I think you might be in trouble there trying to call if you try to call back in. So if you get to hear the rest of this, thank you for calling, buddy. Make sure you call back next week. If Donald Trump is arrested this week coming up, then we'll break in. I promise you that. So, you know, because me and Paul will be throwing a party.
Oh, you think?
I'm going to let Paula end up the show, and then we'll close it up with a song.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening across the world, across the country. Thank you for your emails and your phone calls. And in Russia, these days I always end up with it. If you are in Russia listening, I'm sure you probably know this if you're listening, that Putin is lying to you. Ukraine is not Nazis. They are not Nazis. They're trying to save their country. So I just want you may not be able to act upon it or say anything for fear of being arrested, but we want you to know that Putin is fucking lying to you. So thank you for your phone calls. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Come back for us whenever news breaks, and that being said, thank you. Have a great week. Assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Good night, everybody.
All right. All right, everybody. You all have a great night. Take care. We love you. God bless. And we, in the words of George Santos, it's just nice being gay. All right, everybody. See you later. If something happens between now and then, we'll break in with some breaking news. I want to thank Paula Alexander for being here with us. God bless her. She was working hard tonight, man. She had to deal with a lot of those mega idiots. So thank you guys for causing so much problems. And thank you, George Santos, if that's who you really are. From Florida, come on. All right, everybody, have a good night.
This went from my heart.
You were born in America. How fortunate you are. Only in America can you reach for the highest star. You can say what you want, think what you want, do what you want to do. Oh, to be an American, to be like one of you. I came here from a foreign land. How fortunate I am, and like so many before. for me. You opened up your arms. You give me your valleys, mountains and your plains. You give me a love that's true. Now I too am American. I am just like one of you. Now I am an American.